When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
We head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline and welcome on Mandy Bell of MLB.com. Hi, Mandy. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Have you successfully decompressed from the end of the regular season while also gearing up for the postseason yet?
I think so. Maybe just at the tail end of that process still, but we're getting there. Now this is the excitement. Now that baseball's on, now postseason baseball's on today, I think the excitement for that can just get started.
Mandy, I got to say, hosting with my buddy JP yesterday, and he said he'd rather face the Astros than the Tigers in the ALDS. And I very, very rarely get that much of a guffaw out of me. I guffawed. Who do you think the Guardians would rather face in the ALDS, the Astros or Tigers?
It's kind of sound like a cop-out answer, but I really don't think either is a great option right now because you just see the history with the Astros, and it definitely isn't in Cleveland's favor. We just saw it over the weekend. Now, we didn't get to see the third game of that and how that would have panned out, but still, you look at the season series, they went 1-4 against the Astros, and we all know the history over the last few years between Cleveland and Houston in the postseason. It's obviously been in favor of the Astros, and this is a team that just consistently finds ways to get to the ALCS. No matter if they're great, they're middle of the pack, they're not that great, whatever, during the regular season, they figure it out in the postseason. So no matter what, they're always a scary team. But this Tigers team that's up 3-0 right now as we're speaking, they're ridiculous right now. I don't know. It just seems like they're unstoppable at this moment. So I can understand why people would think that this isn't a team that you want to take on, but I don't think the Astros are much of a better option either.
Playoff experience scares me when it's to the level that the Astros have. So the perception is, and I think I carry some of that perception as well, but that the Guardians maybe held back a bit in the series with the Astros at the end of the regular season, conceivably because they're likely to face them again soon. Is that a fair perception?
Definitely from the pitching perspective of it all, yeah. They didn't have Tanner Bibee pitch this weekend. He could have pitched Sunday on regular rest, but they opted to have him throw a sim game yesterday. Yesterday was Monday. Yes, yesterday. And that then lines him up to be game one of the ALDS should they go that direction. I know it's not been announced yet, but all signs seem to be pointing towards that's pretty safe to say. So they didn't have him. They didn't have Matthew Boyd pitch Friday, I think was his day that he was supposed to be going. So they bumped everything around for the guys who would probably be in the ALDS facing maybe this Houston team. So pitching-wise, yes, but you saw some of those lineups, and those lineups had the guys that would be in the starting lineup for a postseason roster, and their bats were really shut down for the most part. So that's the side that would be concerning of it all, of, yes, this offense would still be pretty much the same of what we saw in this last weekend, even though it wasn't like high stakes were on the line anymore. But pitching-wise, they definitely skewed things up from what they would have.
Mandy Bell, MLB.com on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline as we get you ready for, hopefully, a Guardians deep playoff run. What do you think are the keys to a deep playoff run and the difference between a deep playoff run and maybe a quick exit for the Gardos?
I don't have fear of going to the bullpen as early as possible, especially during this ALDS when you have a day off between games 1, 2, and 3. Like that has to play in Cleveland's favor because you can just continually rest all these guys. This has been the best bullpen in baseball. This is the fourth lowest ERA over since in the wild card era, which is 95. So the fourth lowest bullpen ERA across all teams since 95. It's ridiculous. And so don't be afraid to go to that early, even if it seems like the third inning's ridiculous, whatever it might be. Don't feel the need to try to get too much out of your starters. I think that's going to be key. Let these guys who have gotten you here get you even further. And then obviously you just need the offense to not hit one of those cold spells that they've gone into this year. They have been very streaky, and whenever they get hot, and it feels like no matter what the score is, even if they're down in the eighth inning, it just feels like they could come back at any moment. But then there's stretches where you're like, oh man, a 3-run lead seems like it's impossible to overcome. So it just depends on which lineup you're getting, and Jose Ramirez being hot and leading the way is going to be key for that too.
Mandy, what do you expect the Guardians ALDS rotation to look like?
It's tough to say. I think right now a lot of it depends on Alex Cobb, because they really do seem to be trying to get him back in time. And Vogt was very specific when he said that they're trying to get him to start. Now, he doesn't have too much time to build up that pitch count. His sim game that was on Sunday was 30-some pitches, which isn't a lot. So if you would have him then pitch again on Friday, that would then line him up for game 3, if that's what they're shooting for. So maybe that is part of the plan, and you just have him open or just see what he can handle. And I don't know if the plan for that game 3 of having Cobb open would be to have Gavin Williams then come out and handle some of the innings after that, like they were going to try on Sunday before the rain got in the way. So I don't know if they still stick with a plan like that or keep that on the table when Gavin Williams didn't get a trial run at that. That's kind of hard to ask for the first time in a big playoff series. So I don't know if that's still on the table. I think Bibee and Boyd, you'll see it starts. It just comes down to how they handle whatever day, whether it be game 2 or game 3, which one they would maybe do a bullpen game, maybe have Cobb open, maybe just have Gavin Williams take a couple innings and quickly go to the bullpen. I'm not quite sure what that third game would look like.
Are you as fascinated with Gavin Williams' role in the playoffs in general, but certainly in the ALDS as I am?
Yeah, because his season was confusing this year, because there were some starts where he looked like what we all envisioned Gavin Williams continuing to grow into last year. You got that taste of how great he could be. And some of these starts where you'd see him go 7 innings, barely give up any hits, look super dominant. That's what we all envision him developing into. But then there was other starts where he just didn't look like himself at all. And so it's tough to know what that will look like in the playoffs if he does get a start. It was tougher to even envision what that would look like in a relief role if he's coming out of the bullpen, whether he handles some bulk innings, maybe only take an inning or two, whatever they would use him for. That could be really dominant, but it also could be a disaster because he's never done that before. So he's such a question mark right now that it's going to be fascinating to see how that plays out whenever these games really start to count.
Mandy Bell, MLB.com on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. So with you know, Gavin there, obviously you've got a couple starting pitchers you got to make decisions on. You got a young guy or two like Andrew Walters coming up here. I think it's probably going to impact the rotation and the bullpen more. That's going to maybe impact the lineup. But are there any roster decisions that the Guardians are going to have to make, and potential names that could be left off the ALDS roster?
Yeah, I mean, they definitely have to cut down from 28 to 26 of what we've seen the last month. So you start thinking about guys like Eric Sobrowski. Like, he's been amazing, but does he make the cut? Because he's so inexperienced. This is the first time really at all in his professional career that he's pitched a full season without having any injury. Is that history and the inexperience going to play a big role in that, even though he's been outstanding since he got the call up? Same with Andrew Walters. Do you trust him and his inexperience in this situation, even though he has been excellent since he's come up and has not looked like he was overwhelmed, rattled, nervous, any of those things at all since he's gotten here? So you start looking at those types of guys. You wonder if maybe Nick Sandlin is someone who's on the bubble just because he hasn't been as consistent as he was at the beginning of the season, back when Stephen Vogt called him his pacifier for being able to use him in any situation that they needed. I don't know if that's someone that they would have to consider. Joey Cantillo, is it worth putting him in the bullpen because of how great he's been? He was great in coming out of the pen against Kansas City when they tried that earlier this year. Is that worthwhile? Where does Ben Lively mix in? Do you even need him to mix in? So I think it's more on the pitching side than it is on position players, whether those decisions will be made. So I think it's more of just figuring out which two guys are going to be left off.
Mandy, looking to something I saw on social media earlier today, Guardians of the Land, which is a big...
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Guardians fan Twitter account suggested Terry Francona should throw out the ceremonial first pitch ahead of game one of the ALDS here in Cleveland. So I will ask you whether you like that submission and if there's somebody that comes to mind as a potential good luck charm for Cleveland that could throw out that first pitch.
You know, we've actually talked about this a lot. Everyone in the beat contingent has talked about Terry Francona possibly coming back and whether that would happen. I wouldn't envision that unless they would make it to the World Series where that would even be remotely a chance. He's just not a guy who wants to step on toes. He doesn't want to feel like he's, I don't know, with Stephen Vogt being in his first year, Tito's definitely made sure he's been in the background. He hasn't been talking much with media. He hasn't been around. I mean, when he's been in Cleveland for his restaurant opening, whatever it might be, it's not like he's coming into the games. He wants to make sure that there's that space there, that he's not trying to overstep. So that's just in my head, I think, man, that's hard to envision, although it'd be wonderfully special, I think, if he would be there. I just, maybe it would take a little bit deeper into the postseason before he would consider that. But I mean, other people, I mean, you have so many different players who are former players who are constantly around this team that can easily come back and do that stuff. Heck, I think we just saw Jason Kipnis at the Browns game not too long ago. So I think that they have so many alumni who float around here so often anyway that would be more than willing to do that. It wouldn't surprise me if they find a former player to do that.
My one demand, no Michael Martinez, but that is a personal vendetta. He's a good person. I just am still not over 2016. Mandy, how big of a wild card is having a rookie manager heading into the playoffs for the first time?
I think we saw it all season because we came into the year, we as in all the external people looking in on the organization, thinking that this maybe wouldn't have been their best year. We were thinking that, okay, this is a roster that is basically the same as it was last year, the year that they took a step back, didn't have a 500 record, didn't make the playoffs, and they didn't really make any big additions over the offseason. Plus, you have a first-time manager trying to figure everything out. It just didn't seem like it added up to success, and somehow it obviously did. So I think that wild card has already shown itself of which direction it can go in, but we obviously know that it can also go in the opposite direction based on inexperience. So I do think there's a question mark of how this will go, but I think it's allowed him to be so aggressive in his managing style because he just doesn't know any better. And he's been able to lean on Carl Willis so that he does have someone pulling on the reins a little bit if he needs it and having some guidance of someone who's been here forever and has known this game inside and out, known a coaching role inside and out. So I think the blend of them together has been really nice, and it's been a change of pace for this organization, and it's obviously worked out. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him be just as aggressive as he's been all year in a playoff setting of just constantly pinch hitting, going to the bullpen as early as he needs to, whatever it might be. It just seems like his coaching or his managing style so far this year will just effortlessly transition right into the playoff style.
Mandy, you mentioned the importance of Hosey having a big postseason here, but you know, you are going to need the non-Quans, the non-Hoseys, the non-Naylors, and Lane Thomases, the young guys here, the John Kenseys, the Martinezes, the Manzardos, to step up as well. Even Bo Naylor, obviously, still very young. Who is maybe the most important of that young bunch of the non-elite top four, top five hitters here to make sure that that they can make an impact and take this thing deep into November or early into November?
I mean, honestly, any of them could be that person, but I'll go with Bo Naylor just because it's bigger than just this postseason with him. They need to see that this is the guy that they thought he could be whenever he was throughout their minor league system and when he was coming up. Like the ceiling seemed to be sky high for him. And so it hasn't completely translated, at least offensively, since he's been in the big leagues. So if you can start to see him settle in when the games matter most, that will not only just build his own confidence and help him continue to build up, but I think it'll help just give the organization a big sigh of relief, maybe looking toward the future of, okay, this guy, we see it, and now it's starting to pan out. So I would say Bo Naylor's big. He's always toward the bottom of the lineup. You need to have somebody down there to help them turn it over to back, get to those top guys that are going to be up there, the Quans, the Jose's, all of them, to make sure they get up as much as possible. So I'll go with him, although I do think an honorable mention should go to Jhonkenzie Noel, because I think we all want to see a ball go 500 feet in the postseason.
I've never seen him almost hit a home run. I've only seen him murder baseballs, which is why he quickly became one of my favorite players.
That's a good point.
Does a World Series run, if Hosey is the face, if he really knocks a cover off the ball and they win the World Series, does that solidify his Hall of Fame case?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to say now, but yeah, it seems like on paper you would think. We have no idea how the rest of his career is going to go. Just knowing his personality, he seems like someone who's going to need baseball to be ripped out of his death grip to get him to step away from this game. He's going to be a baseball lifer as long as he can and just stay around it. And I swear he's going to be in his 40s still trying to run out to third base for 160 games a season. But I feel like he has the makings of it all. He's doing special things. We got robbed of the last game of the season to see how special it really could have been this year. But that doesn't take away from anything. And if you add a World Series title to that mix, I mean, it's really hard to ignore what he's done in his career and still has so much left to do.
Mandy, was this his best season so far?
I truly don't think so. I mean, if you look at all of his numbers, yes, it was. He almost pulled off a 40-40-40 season, which he would have just been the second player to ever do that in Major League history. Alfonso Soriano in 06 was the only other one to do it. So, yeah, there's some numbers that have gotten a lot of people's attention, and because they are those flashy headline type of style stats where everyone's like, oh, man, like those are milestones. Those are huge. This is a huge year for him. It doesn't stick out as being his best season. You look through of what he's done over the last almost 10 years now, it's kind of crazy to think that this year wouldn't be his best season, but it seems like he might have had more well-rounded years in the past, and I don't know. It just seems like every year he somehow figures out how to make this season that question of, was this his best year? But I don't think I would. I don't think I know what year I would say sticks out, because there's so many, but I don't think I would say that I would sit here right now and say this was definitely his best year, and I think that's just a testament to how many good seasons he's had.
Mandy, your Twitter handle might be Mandy Bell 02, but you're number one in our book. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Have a good one. Mandy Bell there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline of MLB.com. We got to react to what she had to say about the Gardos, including the idea of who throws out the ceremonial first pitch. Again, we start with just not Michael Martinez, but there have been a couple really good submissions. We'll get to that next right here on 92.3 The Fan.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.